for freedom. Christ has set us free. This is the pronouncement of the good news which Paul proclaims in Galatians. It's perhaps a coincidence that this assigned reading for today is about freedom when we're just a few days away from our nation's celebration of Independence Day. That is a day of celebrating that our nation was founded as a place where people could be free from tyrannical government, free from government without representation, a nation which protects people from government that does not guard the rights of the people against the whims of the ruler. But really, I don't think this democratic freedom is what Paul is talking about. I don't think he's talking about nations or government. He's talking about freedom that we have as followers of Jesus. What Paul is talking about is the fact that when it comes to God's love, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to our belovedness before God, when it comes to satisfying the law of God, the commandments, the rules, the moral codes, when it comes to all of that, we are free. Do you hear this radical good news? The simple fact is, God is love. God made us to live in relationships of love with one another and with God, and God will always love us. There's nothing you can do to change that. That is simply who God is. Although you may have heard it put this way many times, I simply do not believe that what the Bible says is that we have to live up to the law of God, but we are failures, so God sends Jesus to live up to the law for us, to exchange places with us, to take whatever punishment we're due. No, I don't believe that. Because all of that means there must be some God who requires something of us. A God who cannot love us unless we meet a certain standard. A God for whom grace and mercy and love is conditional. For me, the grace of God does not mean that Jesus meets the conditions for us because we can't do it ourselves. No, the grace of God literally means that we have been wrong, that we are wrong when we think that God's mercy and love, God's desire to be in relationship with us, has conditions or requirements. Jesus doesn't meet some requirements for us. He proclaims we're free from all that. There's nothing you can do, nothing you cannot do, which can change God's love for you, which can change God's willingness to save you from yourself. You are free in Jesus. Free from the power of sin and death. Free to be who you are, who God made you. As Martin Luther said, in Christ you are free, servant to none, Lord of all. You are not under the law of God. You are free. This is the good news of Jesus. And also, you are called to strive with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind to love God and to love others as you love yourself. This is the critical distinction, this both and, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to following Jesus. We are not required to do anything. We're not required to love God or our neighbor in order for God to love us. And yet, Jesus calls us to do this with all our might. Jesus empowers us to see the law of God, the scripture, God's word, not as a rule book which we must follow to be worthy, but as a guide to living abundant life together. In other words, Jesus did not come to save us from our inability to please God. Jesus did not come to save us from an angry God of rules. Jesus did not come to save us from the wrath of God. No, no, no. Jesus comes to save us from ourselves. From the self-harm, the self-inflicted pain and suffering, the self-destruction that we, humanity, brings upon ourselves. Jesus comes to save us from our wrong understanding of who God is and to lead us, to guide us into new life, abundant life. Hear this good news again. Jesus came to save us from ourselves, both from the actions by which we are harming, hurting, punishing, destroying one another and ourselves, and from bad understandings of God, which we have made up to convince ourselves that when we are harming and hurting and punishing and destroying one another, we're doing what God asked us to. Does this make sense? All too often, we create a God of rules whom we have made in our own image, who's like us, so that we can feel righteous and good about ourselves, so we can feel holy when we're self-centered and self-focused and self-interested, when we're doing harm or hurting, hating others. And Jesus came to save us, to transform us, to guide us, to lead us, to help us escape the horrendous tragedy, the horrible fate, the suffering and pain that we bring upon ourselves and others, all the while trying to convince ourselves we're doing what God wants. Both of our scripture readings today point to this same good news. Look again at that reading from Paul from Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Do not submit again to a yoke of enslavement. No one can tell you that you must be anything other than who you are to be God's creation, to be God's beloved. And then yet, my friends, my siblings in Jesus, Paul continues, and yet do not use this freedom as an opportunity for turning in on yourself, but through love become servants of one another. For the whole law, Paul says, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. As Martin Luther said, in Christ you are free, servant to none, Lord of all, yet in love you are servant of all and Lord of none. Paul's list makes it clear, a list which includes sexual immorality, debauchery, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, the whole list, all of them are about hurting ourselves and hurting others. All are actions which lift me up over others or set me over against you. Then in contrast, Paul names the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience and kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all ways of being that lead us to turn toward one another in compassion and caring, toward life, living abundant life together in beloved community. And then look again at the gospel from Luke as Jesus sends some disciples ahead to prepare for him to visit a Samaritan village. The Samaritans decide not to welcome Jesus. Why? It's because of a historical tribal argument over God's rules, over God's law. The Samaritans worshiped the same God as the Jewish people, but they thought that God should be worshiped on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. Because Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the Passover, they didn't want to hear from him. But then comes the important part of the story. Because of this disagreement over God's rules, Jesus' disciples suggest that maybe they should pray to God to burn all these Samaritans alive with fire from heaven. To which Jesus, of course, said, "No! How can you think that's what God wants?" Discipleship, Jesus continues, discipleship is not about winning arguments about God's laws, about destroying those who understand God differently. It's about following the way of love. He says it's not going to be about success, finding a home. It's not going to be about community customs like burial rites. It's not going to be about taking care only of your family. It's not going to be about clinging to the past, to tradition, looking back. No, discipleship is about moving forward in the way of love. Discipleship is about following me and loving God through loving others, family, friends, neighbors, strangers, sinners, outcasts, enemies. Discipleship, Jesus says, is about following me in loving others as a response to God who has set you free to love. This is the good news through which we see everything. Whether it be decisions we're making about how we live together as church, or decisions about how we care for our neighbor, or decisions about how to respond to the brokenness of the world and our nation. For freedom, Christ has set you free. You are God's beloved, free to be who you are, and you are called to join in Christ's work to bring salvation to the world by loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen.